One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Shannon Feltus.
I'm Bonnie Dutch.
And this is
You Are That.
We are two sisters who cannot take a compliment.
Swat it from the sky, we will.
We will not accept that compliment. Wow.
All right. We have a remote episode coming your way, which means your brain at some point is going to say,
hey, this sounds a little different.
Let your heart tell your brain. Hell yeah, it does. And I'm into it.
Guess what?
What?
We have a super special guest today.
Like, very important. Like, essential, would you say?
I feel like he's an essential human.
I think so.
We have diabetologist, fellow type 1 diabetic. Mm-hmm. He's an amazing artist. Mm-hmm. He is a born and raised New Yorker and an all-around role model. He's our friend, Dr. Mike Natter.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Hello. I mean, can you guys just walk into a room every time I come in and say these things? Because that was
an uplifting. Yes. We can do that.
And I've perfected the sound so I can straight up just like
air horn.
Get some air horn.
So I missed my calling as being a hype girl. That's what I should just put on.
Well, I feel quite good right now. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh my God, thank you. Seriously, we're stoked to have you. This is perfect.
It's quite an honor. You guys are fantastic.
Oh, you are.
You are that.
No, you.
Oh, stop. Oh, stop you. No, you. We could do this all day.
Oh my God. This is already just joyous.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
Tell the listeners what's up with you.
I'm doing well. Things are good. I'm currently in what's called a fellowship. I'm in my endocrinology fellowship, which will make me a true diabetologist after these years are over. And fellowship is so far significantly better and more humane than what I was doing in my internal medicine residency. So I'm a happy man.
Nice.
Okay. There's so many layers to your onion. Can you tell us all your educational process? Like, is there going to be a point where you feel like you are done with school and you have enough frame things on your wall that you can just move forward and not look back?
When do you put on your last cape? That's what I want to know. Like, what level?
It's, oh my God, it is truly never ending. And it's funny because, like, you don't really, you're like so indoctrinated in this system that you forget that, like, real life people, like normal people, have like no idea. Like, my friends still think I'm in medical school. It's like, it's a very funny, but yeah,
that's rude.
It's you know, it is a little bit, but I understand it. So basically, the traditional route is you go to an undergraduate institution, you do a pre-medical coursework, and that's, you know, your 4 years, and then you're like whatever you are, 21, and then you get into medical school, and you 4 years of medical school. However, I studied art, so I didn't do pre-med, so I had to, after graduating art school, I realized I wanted to be a doctor, so I went and I did a two-year what's called post-bac pre-medical program to take all the pre-med stuff. And then I went to med school. So that's 4 years of med school. When you graduate med school, you have your MD. So you're technically a doctor, but you don't really know all that much yet. And so you have to do what's called a residency. And you choose the residency according to what you want to do as a doctor. So if you want to be a surgeon, you do a surgical residency. If you want to be OB-GYN, you do that residency. Radiology, dermatology, so on. But you have to match into these residencies. It's like a very archaic and like difficult process. But I wanted to be an endocrinologist because I wanted to help people like me and Bonnie who have the BDs. So to do that, you have to do an internal medicine residency, which is 3 years. And then after you finish residency, you technically could practice as a full-fledged like internist or general practitioner or, you know, one of those like hospitalist type people. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be a specialist, then you do a fellowship. So I'm currently in year one of my 2-year endocrinology fellowship. So I'll be about like 49 when I'm fully done.
I laugh, but I feel like that sounds true. Oh, man.
I just turned 35. So I will be 37 years old when I am fully done with my training process. Granted, I'm 5 years older than most of my peers because I took all that time in between.
All that time. Oh. You took 5 years to yourself for right. something you were passionate about How until you dare found you. Something you're more passionate about.
Equally, well, equally, fun. Equally.
Full confession, everything I know about medicine, I learned from watching Scrubs.
No, so, that's good. That's good.
Real talk. Like, but I love that. So everything looks really hard and everybody looks really tired mm-hmm. and all of your cartoons that you draw, that seems pretty accurate to me. Like it looks pretty strenuous. I'm stoked to have somebody like you that's so passionate about this to be in the job you're in. Thank freaking goodness you picked this path.
Oh,
and then
you.
Like art on the side. Yeah. Moonlight doing art stuff instead.
Yeah. In a way, I feel like there's a lot of art in medicine. And I was really fortunate that I've been able to kind of like blend my passions because art at like, for me, I see art as a communicative tool.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, medicine largely has to be about, you know, visual communication. And you break down barriers when you're able to draw things and explain things in pictures, both to your patients, but to yourself and to your colleagues. So for me, it's been kind of like one and the same, and it's been great.
Coming from a weird art background for both Bonnie and I in different ways with art parents, I visualize things more than somebody telling me something. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah, we also grew up with all kinds of illustrated books. Mm-hmm. Shannon was super into, she wanted to be like a forest ranger.
Oh.
So she was really into nature and botany and the sciences that were like wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had all those cool books that were like the vintage 70s illustrations.
Oh, I still have them.
Mushrooms and ferns.
Pacific Northwest botanical, like forestry stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to find that mushroom. I'm going to find it. For reals, I'm going foraging next weekend. I'm going to find that mushroom. It's going to be awesome.
Textbooks that had any sort of breakdown as far as like cells. You know, I was like half into science. I wasn't super into history and I wasn't super into science. And it's weird now to look back on that time because I love both history and science and I love the stories and I love how it all unravels. But I'm like, if everything had a diagram for me
good
that was a hand-drawn, like, show me what I'm working with. Health class, like, show me my insights.
Bonnie's gesturing to her body right now. I wish you guys could see it. She's like pointing at her guts. Yeah. It's pretty
show
funny.
Me my guts, but like break it down. In a way that's artistic. What the crazy part is, our origin story, how we know of you is because lovely dad, Allie Ward of Ologies podcast had you on.
Yes.
Multiple times now. You talked about COVID and you had a two-parter for diabetology.
Oh man, that COVID one was terrible.
Oh God.
So you're like VIP, MVP specialist for Ologies.
No. Shut your mouth. You are. We said so. It's official. She gave you Ologies platform, which means you're a legit ologist of all the brain.
You're the doc of the tech. Right.
It was like an absolute, I mean, as you guys know, Allie's just like a gem of
a
human.
She's a dreamboat.
Gem.
She's
like,
just fucking wonderful.
She's fucking wonderful. She is like truly one of the most wonderful people. So
Agreed.
To have her invite me on once was more than enough and really flattering. And then I would like totally lost my shit on the COVID podcast, which was horribly embarrassing.
Like, but, how are you? Like, yeah.
It is not horribly embarrassing.
No.
That's real talk.
I cried.
Oh God, I was a mess.
We had recaps with guests where people lost their shit and they were like, thank you for putting our real shit out there. And I was like, dude, we're all going crazy.
Yeah. After your Ologies, I went to look you up on Instagram so I could follow you. And I was already following you. And I was like, this is the doctor I follow that does all the drawings. This is so crazy.
That's me.
And
it
like blew
she
my
freaked
mind.
Out. She's private DM'd me your art before. And I was like, oh, shit. that's fucking cool. And then I listened to your episode with Allie, and then me listening to an episode that's literally just basically about my sister. Oh. Well, and our family lineage has a lot of diabetes in it. Like my gram was type 1.
Mm-hmm, our cousin.
Our cousin.
And our mom was type 2.
And we had aunts that were type 2 as well.
Yeah.
We grew up with a lot of diabetes.
You've had some beaties.
Yeah, but dude, I didn't get the beaties until she was 30s. Older.
Right. Oh, and I have needle phobia because my cousin was a dick and used to give himself shots in front of me. And I'm like, fuck you. That's why I have needle phobia.
So wait, Bonnie, your grandmother, I want to get your lineage. So the type 1 lineage, because there is something called LADA, which is, there's like a handful of different flavors of diabetes in it. Like there's one particular.
Mine's sweet.
Oh my God. Well played.
There's one that follows a lineage that's like autosomal dominant. So like every single generation will have a flavor of type 1. But it sounds like that one of your parents is type 2, but there's no type 1 in your parents? Okay.
No type 1 in my parents.
Got it.
So weird. And I had a really amazing endo when I was first diagnosed. And the whole thing that led me to being diagnosed was crazy. I was living in the South. It was the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was just like too Pacific Northwest to deal with. That type of climate.
Oh. Yeah, you told me you're allergic to the South. Your body's allergic to Southern living.
You know, didn't stop going to the bathroom. Yeah. I'd wake up like 12 times in the night and was like, this is just too much.
Oh.
And then I fainted and pretty much like got all my blood work. I'm driving home and the nurse calls and she's like, we've already called in your prescription. You need to take insulin now, if not yesterday.
They didn't want to admit you.
But Shannon and I like to put off going to the doctor.
We're really bad people. No. You would hate us. I know. Don't even start. We know.
I'm good now.
Come
see me. Move to New York. I'll take care of it.
Move to New York.
You don't even want to take this on. We're just garbage fires.
No.
It's fucked up.
So basically they got my blood work back and called me.
Do you remember what your blood sugar was?
Oh yeah.
My blood sugar, I don't remember, but my ketones were 780.
Those are urine ketones. Did they get a beta hydroxybutyrate in the blood?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting all.
No, you're good.
No, I feel like I should be paying you because you started
this
using
is so big funny.
I charge by the syllable.
I like that. She called me on the way to the pharmacy. Was like, I feel like this is bad. She's like, I'm crawling out of my skin about this. I'm trying not to freak out, but like they said, I should have taken insulin yesterday.
And on the way there, I had a sweet tea on the way to the doctor.
Oh no!
And it was a McDonald's large sweet
tea. Oh no!
I downed the whole thing because I was so thirsty.
Right.
So I drank this whole sweet
tea. Can you talk about that thirst? It's like an endless thirst that you'll chug a gallon and still be parched, right?
It's the thirst that, like, if you smoked weed in college, everybody, it's that thirst that your mouth can be wet, but right behind your tonsils and down into your soul, it is forever dry.
You're in the desert.
And you're parched. It's hard to breathe. Everything becomes thicker. And so just like swallowing is awful. And you can wet your mouth forever. I tried that dental spray.
Yeah, like the Biotene.
For dry mouth. Yeah, Biotene. I tried that. Nothing really worked
for me. Is it like
when
you're hungover and you can't drink enough water, but then also water tastes sweet?
Yeah.
Okay. That's my own problem. That has nothing to do with diabetes. That's just a drinking problem. I was like, that's just always fascinated me.
And it was crazy because, again, summertime cookouts, I'm like having a beer with friends, I'm having a cocktail, but I'm forever hot. And then also in that same diagnosis, I also got diagnosed with hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's actually.
Aww.
So I had a double diagnosis of like, hey, the rest of your life, you fucked. I was like, okay, well, this is the new normal for me. And it took me a really long time. Like, I'm still naughty. I still eat candy and stuff, but I'm like, I shot for this.
But listen, you're okay. You're allowed to, and you shouldn't feel bad about it. But I will say that
I do.
The endocrinopathies, the endocrine glands, they get lonely. Mm-hmm. And so when one clunks out, they like to bring a friend along. So it's very common that you'll see folks with type 1 diabetes and Hashimoto's and sometimes adrenal insufficiency and vitiligo. They kind of come like in a, they have a party. Everyone's got to come along.
God. Bonnie told me, she's like, well, my Hashimoto's broke my pancreas.
That's what I was thinking. It was like, pew, pew, pew.
She's like, bye.
And I still have active cells. So my pancreas is still
that's good.
A third active.
That's fantastic.
And I almost got taken into a trial study in Nashville. My endocrinologist is a woman who would travel around the world teaching people about diabetes. Wow. And she had diabetes, and she looked and sounded like the grandma from that TV show Dinosaurs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So every time she gave me advice, I was like, I have to listen, because she's just like, well, you know, she was, you know, she was like your hard ass aunt. Like, I had to listen.
Listen, you need to take your vitamins.
Oh my God.
She was cool. I wanted to get me into this case study. And then all I could talk about on the phone with my mom and my sister while I was there was like, I might be able to have a zombie pancreas. Like, it's going to come back to life.
Oh my God.
The study was,
I'm so jealous.
If we can take your cells and spark them, and they'll talk to the other cells and they'll invite them to the party.
Oh my God. Can
everybody
you spark
wants
mine?
To join the party.
Spark my cells.
Do you have any sparky cells?
Oh my God. Mine are so out to lunch. They've been broken. They're just dead. They're donezo since I was 9. Just like,
oh, you got diagnosed at 9.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like that's harder than younger.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I don't know. I think so. Diabetes sucks no matter when you get it. It's just like a miserable experience. But I will say, yeah. I think, and Bunny, please comment on this, but I think when we're adults, we have established what our life, like what we like to do. We have autonomy. Mm-hmm. We like to eat this. We like to exercise then or not. We like to go to work. We change our job. When you're a kid, it's like you wear what you're told. You go to sleep when you're told. You go to school when you're told. And so I was taking my shots because I was told, and I was taking my sugar, you know. And I was able to, in a way, kind of seamlessly like get into that
transfer.
Lifestyle. Yeah. And I wonder, like, if I was diagnosed in like my 20s or 30s, I'd be like, no, fuck this. Like, I'm not going to do that.
I feel lucky.
You're weird. It's weird that you say that, because like, I grew up, my cousin and I were 5 years apart, and I watched him very closely because I was so scared of needles. The thought of me being diabetic scares the shit out of me, because I feel like I'd have to have my husband give me shots because I'm so fucked up on
needles. Couldn't take my first shot on my own. I made somebody shoot me because my leg was moving away as my hand was coming.
I faint though, so I'm like fucking pointless.
Oh no.
But my cousin, he rebelled against his diabetes in his teenage years. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't a good boy with it, because he had it since birth.
Right.
Or well, since like little, yeah. Like under 5, if I remember right. I don't know what's better.
Here's the thing. I didn't want to be sick, so I stopped doing shots.
Fuck.
And I mean shots of alcohol. there's a learning curve here. You had it when you were 9. So you were already super established in how your body reacted to things by the time you were, you know, coming of age to drink and party and do what everybody else is doing.
Right.
Mind you, you went to art school. I went to art school. I partied out of art school pretty hard, but not with the people at art school. I found outside factors to make me not focus on my studies. But art school, studying to become a doctor, you had a better chance than like if I had gone to like a party school.
That's a good point.
And developed a real healthy alcoholism, maybe 30 years old getting, you know, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes would have been like a really hard hit for me. I had to watch what I was eating and not just go ham on those Olive Garden breadsticks and pasta anymore.
I heard they're endless.
And about 32 grams of carbs per breadstick.
Oh, man. See, and that's something that doesn't even cross my mind.
It's weird.
That's crazy.
It's fun. Yeah. Like, there's a fun game with diabetics you can play. If you're ever with a type 1 diabetic, you can point at any like loaf of bread or, you know, plate of anything. And you can, how many carbs is that? 32. 45.
I used to play the game of Bonnie, can you eat this? Because I'm a cook.
Oh,
so like she made me I'm a veggie chef, pasta. So like tried to overcompensate about the carb shit, and she finally had to be like, bitch, I can eat your food. I just need to shoot correctly. And I'm like, I don't want to kill my sister.
You know, you need carbs to live.
Yes.
Like you have to eat them. The insulin is so your body, it turns them to energy.
So I'm like, I'll give you mashed potatoes, but like we're having maybe apple pie, depending on how you're feeling. How about that?
Yeah. And I'm like, apple pie, look, I just overshot. Now I need it to survive. Oh, let's move forward into pie.
The fun roller coaster of the blood.
Shit. I do feel like we could talk about diabetes all day long, which is like, this isn't a diabetes podcast, but I kind of want it to be because I want to know everything.
Let's just talk about our bods.
Right?
We do have nostalgia-based questions for you, though.
Let's do it.
Because our podcast is all about learning about the humans and what they're doing in their lives and then throwing that in a dumpster and just deep diving into weird-ass memories.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
So the people want to know about Lil Mike.
Oh, the people don't want to know about me, but I can tell them anyway.
They do too. I bet you $5 they want to know about you.
Do you want to start it off, Sheen?
Hell yeah. Okay, so I saw your photo of you as a tiny little muffin. It was the cutest fucking thing ever. And you were super dapper guy with sweet ass cuffs.
Oh, I cuffs. Yeah, cuffs.
That was so cute.
5 inches are not at all.
Right? Like, come at me. Look at my cuffs. And your sweet part too. I'm not going to dwell, but that was very cute. We're getting into spooky season, and I want to know what cute little baby Mike wore as a Halloween costume. And did you have any that were like embarrassing or wild or crazy or something you were like dead set on being? Tell me about your Halloween life as a child.
Oh, man. So one of my earliest Halloween memories was actually kindergarten. Oh. And I was a bunch of grapes.
I have that costume ready for this year. Shut your mouth.
Do you really? Are you going to be purple or green?
Multicolored purple.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So I had purple balloons. And I recall very distinctly, and I don't know why this memory has like seared into my brain, but I.
Trauma.
Maybe.
I love this too much.
I went to school because it was a school day, and I was not in my costume yet because my mom told me that I would burst all of my grape balloons, and so I could not wear it to school.
She's a wise woman.
She's not wrong, yeah.
Because we had a plan to go to a Halloween costume contest at the end of the day, and the winner would get Big Apple Circus tickets.
Ooh.
I remember it very distinctly that in school they were doing face painting, and I said, can you paint me purple?
Oh, so you just rocked a purple face at school because you were prepping to win those tickets.
Yeah, and can I tell you, Shannon and Bonnie.
Yeah.
We won those tickets.
Yes! Oh my god.
I'm so happy for little Mike.
Oh, we had a good time.
I love a winner, man. Oh my god.
The grapes. It's so weird that you mentioned grapes because I had messaged Shannon the other day.
I texted her
and I was like, "Hey, we need to have a little fall photo shoot for You Are That. Let's get some like spooky Halloween themed outfits together." I meant like orange sweaters
I'm a
and
moron.
Corduroy pants. And she wrote me back and said,
OMG,
I have purple balloons. I can be great.
A leotard and a hat.
I mean, who doesn't have purple balloons and a leotard and a hat?
I don't know.
But she's such a mom in her mind.
I made my kid a lobster last year because he wanted to be a lobster.
Wait, you're going to have to send me a picture of that.
Okay. I sewed arms and
he's
then put
the
them
lobster
on
you
strings.
Want to catch because he's juicy.
He's so cute. And then he made little clampy hands. And I was like, what are you? A lobster. It's cute. He adds syllables to the word. It's so cute.
I'm exhausted by the idea of how much work our parents
it sounds
put
like a lot
costumes.
Of yeah it's a lot of work. I am kidless at the moment, and my friends who have children, I don't know how they do it.
It's weird. This is the weirdest life. I didn't know that I'd be making a lobster costume. If you ever asked me 10 years ago, I'd be like, that doesn't sound like anything. That's weird as hell. No, up until then he wanted to be Mario, like, or a pirate every single year. And I was like, redo, perfect. Until it doesn't fit, that's what you are. This is great.
Mario must have been a fun one.
Oh, we might be Mario again this year. Why not? It's cute. He likes a good mustache.
Don't we all?
Right?
Oh, yeah, agreed. I know. That used to be my thing, is I just get him fake tattoos and a bag of mustaches. And he's happy.
Yeah.
He just looks so dope. He's like topless, covered in tattoos, wearing a mustache and sunglasses on.
Bonnie leaves after babysitting and he just looks like a weird little biker.
Oh my god.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
So as we discussed, Mike, you have attended school for far longer than the average human. What is one thing that you miss from grade, middle, or high school that you'd incorporate into medical school or higher education in general just for funsies?
Ooh.
I have some examples.
Oh, let's give me some examples. Yes.
All right. What my art school needed was school dances and a softball team.
Hell yeah.
Or maybe that cool Valentine's Day Cupid thing where random students from leadership class interrupt third period to pass out secret admirer roses.
Oh, I like that.
You know,
that.
Like, picture like you're that. Just, like, in a lab, and somebody knocks on the door, like, sorry, guys, but love's in the air, and they just give people roses. It's so weird. There needs to be something. There needs to be an incentive for adults to, like,
cut a rug at Sadie Hawkins or something.
Oh my God, done that I love on
Scrubs.
That. Oh, they definitely would have done picture that. Can I tell you, when you said that you got all of your medical information from Scrubs, I have to tell you, of the medical TV shows, Scrubs is without a doubt the most accurate. Like, it totally.
Really?
Yes, it gets a lot of what this life is like very right.
That makes me happy because even when they're stressed out, they go take a nap in a room that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like a janitor closet or something. And I'm like, yeah, I would do that. That seems like the most functional thing
to
do.
When you said Scrubs, it made me picture all of your stories, Mike, where you post so-and-so's having a birthday and you're, you know, whether they're residents or doctors around you, you're posting all of their like day in the life stuff and being like, here's my friend so-and-so, and you're doing selfies, and it makes it feel so personable and it makes it feel like Scrubs. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Like, aww. I think that's why I relate it to that is because you make it like it
less,
feels more,
what is it? Medicinal?
Less
like
sterile.
Yeah, less sterile. Oh, that makes me feel really nice. Yeah, because I think there is like this weird world of medicine that doesn't seem accessible or like attainable. Or I always feel like I always describe myself amongst my doctor friends as I'm like, oh, I'm an artist, not really a doctor. And then when I'm amongst my art friends, I'm like, oh, I'm a doctor, not really an artist. You know, it's that like,
oh my God, so you do it. This is why you guys are friends. Oh my God. Bonnie's like, oh, you know, no big deal. I just do clerical shit. Oh, just kidding. I just draw. It's like not a big deal.
Doodle. Hashtag doodle.
Yeah. I just doodle. But to your question, I think it would be pretty cool if there was like some kind of like med school prom. Or, you know, wait, I take it back. Because we do have like a formal dance thing. I'm going to take it back. I think it'd be cool to have a field day, like capture the flag day.
Oh, like so spring, and there's all these different areas, snow cone machine,
yes.
The weird giant blow up things you bounce on.
Yes.
Capture the flag.
You guys get to hit each other with those gladiators.
Oh my God,
like the
yes.
Joust shit. Oh. Okay, so real talk, Bonnie and I were the ones that would run that shit.
Oh.
We had Campologies.
I would love to go to Campologies.
Dude, be careful because we plan to do an East Coast one. It has been threatened.
I'm there.
Oh, well, that's easy. So
sign me up.
I mean, do you want to be featured as an ologist?
That was
you get
already,
all the perks. Yeah. Oh, you get a special color camp shirt.
You do have to run an activity. Oh, darn.
So I could do the how to take an insulin shot.
You'll be the medic. We'll just give you the first aid kit.
Yeah, I'll walk around with that. I could do that.
Oh my God.
A field day incredible. It's when you're in classroom settings with people and then you get to see part of their personality that only comes out with like a certain kind of event. You need a like a loose event. Like
yes.
The quietest girl in class, as soon as you get her to a tug of war, she could be the one being like, Paul, motherfucker. And you're like, whoa, Stacey.
People's team leadership and competitive skills, just the fun shit that comes to the surface when you make them act like a kid for like an hour.
Oh, totally.
It feels so good.
It's so true.
It's that dopamine you need.
I feel like, especially in like grad school and like people are so stressed out and all they're doing is studying and like, you know, sitting in the library in the lab. To put people in a setting where they're not thinking about the next exam or like cramming and they're not in the library and they're outside, like it's such a good break from that.
And those people get to intermingle with different departments that they might not get to.
Yes, yes.
And then when you're back in that like school workflow, you see those people in the hallway and it's less scary, you know?
Exactly,
like especially if you're like a first year and everything seems crazy and everyone else kind of looks like they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't, it should be like mandatory.
I can tell you from experience, no one knows what they're doing. They all just pretend.
So it's like every other job I've ever been
at.
Cool. Yeah. Fun. Never say you're sorry. Never say it's your fault. Always have an informed answer, even if it's not right.
And say it with confidence.
And then double check later. Say it with confidence. That's what
I just brace yourself and say, in my opinion, or, you know, I think this, because then then you can't be held liable. So
I concur.
Do you concur?
Well, it's definitely a pheochromocytoma, clearly. Always.
Oh my God, we need to bring field day to the medical industry.
Let's do it.
You know, it makes for happier doctors. That makes for better quality medical service, happier patients.
Right?
I can't even imagine. I've had some real stick in the mud doctors where I go to an appointment when I leave. I'm like, they made me feel like they hate themselves and they hated that I was there and they hated that I had an appointment.
Well,
and but then I'm like, I think that's just them.
It is. It is. There is a horrible amount of burnout in the medical field. It's really sad, but it's like you hit it on the head. It's like we're in school for 20 years. And then the way that the like healthcare is very broken right now and the way that reimbursement works and everything else, you're just slammed with patients that you have to see in like 10 or 15 minutes. And you went into this to help people, and to help people, you need to sit and talk to them, and you can't, you know, it's really tough. Yeah.
Well, I'm the worst kind of patient, I will say, because like my primary care doctor, my husband and I have the same family doctor, which is awesome. We have for the last 8 years.
Aww.
I stay with him because he's no bullshit. I don't have a lot of patience, and if anybody's coddling me, I'll stop going because I feel like they're a liar. He's very no nonsense, and he straight up tells me, well, you're overweight and you need more sleep. And I'm like, well, you're not wrong. I don't like taking pills, and my life's complicated. So like, he just tells me, well, you're not dying. These are the two things. You're still fat and you need sleep. I'm not dying. Cool. See you in 6 months.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
But he's great.
But I think it's about meeting your patient halfway. Like some people respond to that tough love, but you have to kind of read them, and some people need more handholding, and it's all about kind of finding that balance, I think.
I'm grateful for our doctor. He's got an easy patient with us, thank God. So I feel like we could talk to you about everything ad nauseum all day long.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Growing up, did you have any after school clubs or groups that you belonged to? Bonnie and I were both Girl Scouts, like long term, to the point where we ended up getting our Girl Scout troop dismantled, I think, at the very end.
Did you guys sell cookies?
Hell yeah, we did. Sold cookies. And then I turned into like a weird drama nerd and then turned stagecraft, which stagecraft, if anybody doesn't know, it's when you can't act. You actually, but you still want to participate. You just like build the stage and cheer everybody on. You build the stage.
It's a giant craft project. Right. And then you sell a bunch of tickets like you sold Girl Scout cookies.
Oh. Right. And I will say the stages that I built with my team, I turned into a very crazy foreman. And I had artistic vision for that goddamn production, and I have artistic skill, kind of, not like Bonnie, but like I'm mid-level.
Oh, you're good.
I'm all right. I will say Guys and Dolls never looked so good. But did you have any extracurriculars that you remember that you loved?
Yeah, tell us about high school Mike Natter.
Well, first of all, I've never heard of that stagecraft. That's fascinating to me.
It's where non-actors get to participate.
It's set design.
Yeah, that's awesome. I believe it or not, I'm not the tallest of all of dudes. But I played basketball competitively throughout kind of high school and middle school and elementary school. I was a big basketball guy.
How tall are you? Tell the world.
I'm about 6'4", 6'5".
Shut up.
Reverse
not
that.
Not the tallest.
Flip that. That means he's 5'6".
I'm about 5'7". Yeah.
Just yeah, I was right.
That's nailed it.
That's
nailed it.
Average.
That's average height.
You know, I would think so, but you know, I look around, all my friends and colleagues are like at least 5'10 or more. So I don't know. I think I'm a little below.
No, they're not average. You're average. They're overachieving.
They're freaks.
Be like, what's up, freak? I'm average.
That's what you should tell them. Basketball, you don't need to be a giant. Kevin Hart plays basketball. What's up?
He's that's true. Tiny. That's
true. I just choked.
You need to have like that attitude going in that you're a badass. I knew giant dudes in high school, and it didn't mean they were good at basketball.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
It's like us. We're tall. How many people tried to get us to play tall sports?
How tall are you guys?
I look like a broken baby deer. I was 5'10".
You're 5'10"?
Yeah.
Oh, what I would give to be 5'10". Oh, my God.
Okay, real talk. I was like 135 and 5'10 in high school, and they were like, play volleyball or basketball. And I'm like, I'm going to break in half and die. I could pitch because nobody could bother me.
Yeah, we were softball girls. Yeah.
Okay.
And we went hard.
We were aggressive.
We were aggressive.
Yeah. And Bonnie was my catcher and I was a pitcher, and we like ruled the world for a little while.
You guys are the cutest sisters. You guys play baseball together. You pod together.
We have our moments.
Yeah.
Aww.
Sometimes we cook together sometimes.
Aww. Yeah, she's a good ass sous chef.
Like when it comes to like holiday stuff, good at like whipping up sides and like getting desserts prepped.
Ooh.
Yeah. Again, and I'll get sweaty making that turkey and whatnot.
And like some fancy ass cocktails or flow where I see her like coming in with hot mitts and I'm like out of the way. Dodging. It's weird to find someone that you can work well with in like a high pressure situation, and we're good at that stuff. Yeah. So when she does like chef pop-ups and
Bonnie's my go-to waitress stuff, it's great.
Yeah, I like just like mingling with the people, and I can clear a plate like nobody's business.
Back to sports though, Bonnie was the most badass catcher though, because she took up the whole fucking plate like on purpose. Like she was
crowding the plate.
Come at me, bitch. Like a spider. Yeah, she was like a cool tarantula on the plate.
Like a spider.
Like try to steal home when that bitch is sitting there ready for you. It's impossible.
You ain't having that.
But basketball, I looked so stupid on the basketball court. How long did you play basketball? That was a long ass time. From like grade school to college?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play in college. I didn't play competitively, just like pick up. And I decided to turn 35 and break and like turn to glass, and my neck basically broke. So I haven't played
in a long time. That's right. Fuck, you do have a weird neck right now.
I have a terrible neck.
Oh, God.
My neck and my back just falling apart.
There's a song about that. I saw your cartoon about that recently. That was a very educational cartoon about your...
thank you.
Your neck creature.
You know what I've found is that when you... maybe you guys experience this too, but when you put stuff on the internet, like you'll offend someone, even like the most benign of things. You'll find someone to offend.
Mm-hmm. Did you offend someone with your neck
vertebrae monster?
Yeah, somehow I caught some, just like, you know, and I'm a sensitive guy. I'm like, I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers. And like, I'm just getting DMs about like, how dare you, like all this stuff. Basically, there is a theory that like, somehow this person found my cartoon to be like a woe is me, like I have a slipped disc, blah, 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 blah. And I guess they do research in like patient mentalization of their conditions. And
oh, so they doctored you when you didn't ask to be their damn patient?
Yeah, like they thought that I was spreading some kind of like false. They're like, you're not supposed to complain about it and like worry about it in the way that you're doing it. And there's data that shows that like it'll make it work. It's like, what are you talking about?
Did you send them a tiny violin and tell them it wasn't yours? That actually wasn't what I was doing, but kindly fuck yourself.
I find the best thing is to just not engage with them.
They were probably just trying to show off that they had retention of information in their own education. Good for you.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Mentally, drawing something that is weighing on you physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, and mentally, drawing it is super fucking healthy.
Hell yeah. Like, it's cathartic.
If you're frustrated by it and you're making sense of it to you, like you've gotten to see the parts of it and you put it in a way where like, hey, people that aren't medical doctors, I could show you an x-ray and you'd still be like, I don't understand what's causing mm-hmm. you pain. And you draw it in a way that's like, oh, fuck. You know, fuck my life. And you make it available to the regular people like us, but you're doing it also. It's cathartic for you.
It
and
is.
You're not
it
fishing
really is.
For people to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like,
that person's like, I'm sorry. I seem to have misplaced my soapbox. I need to tell this guy he's a dick for no fucking reason.
I know, I'm like, I'm in so much pain right now, please.
I will literally fight that guy in the street.
You're right. You're right. Actually, reading your comment made it feel physically worse. So
you're like, I need to go to therapy about your comment, you cocky.
Well, you're also in a, you know, you're in a place where you have tons of followers in a format where people are either on there for entertainment or they're on there to share their own stuff or they're on it to be TikTok famous or popular or to be an influencer. It's a weird collective
space.
Media to be in. It used to just be for artwork.
And
I bring that up all the time where it was invite only.
Oh.
I'm OG.
Bonnie's OG Instagram royalty.
You wouldn't know it.
That's that real. Yeah.
Artists sharing art and photography, and it was mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yeah.
Private. And now it's like
every mom's
a
kid.
Dance contest.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I love it now. It's like my fresh air. I can't hate on Instagram. I just feel like people use it incorrectly sometimes.
Agreed.
And guess what, everybody? It's just a fucking diary.
It's a
for
cool
you.
Platform.
Think about it like a diary.
Yeah.
You don't have to use it as a platform. You don't have to use it as a billboard. If you have it and you have that platform, by all means, use it, especially in the environment currently.
Mm-hmm.
I like looking back and going, remember when I was crocheting for a month? And I was like, look at my new hobby, everyone. It never appeared in my feed again because I don't care. But I look back and I'm like, wow, that was a fun
moment. That's so true, though. Like, it's your personal page and it's like a repository of memories. And that's kind of how I want mine to be. But I don't know how, like, I kind of backed into having a platform. Like, it was never an intentional.
Do you feel like that's pressure for you and it limits you, or you're just...
It's not only because, like, I never, there are people out there, a lot of people out there these days that I think their goal is to make an Instagram following and to use it as a business and as a platform. And, like, that's what they're, like, after. Whereas it was very random and organic, where it kind of grew on its own because of my art and, like, the crossover to medicine. And then a friend of mine actually at BuzzFeed did this really nice piece about my stuff. And, like, that's a catapult that kind of started things. Yeah, but for me, what's weird is that, like, now that I do have this platform, and I do think that as a physician and someone that has, like, a platform and a grandstand, I think there is a bit of a responsibility to speak in a way that is good. Yeah. Like, I really think that, like, just being a physician, like, in and of itself, I think you have a responsibility to the public. But then if you have the ability to speak and have, like, a louder voice, I think you really need to use that for good. You know, I feel that. But I don't feel any pressure, and I don't feel any I get some comments like, you know, I think what we're dealing with currently in our like political situation is not even political. It's like, I call it supra political. Like, it's beyond political. It's just about being a human being. So yeah, I've done a couple of posts about that, or I've, like, I don't know, like, shared a story.
Yeah. I real fucking excited when you teeter on political. It's nice. You are already a good human.
Thank you.
And a good doctor. So using your platform for good, you don't have to pivot. You're already doing that. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a stretch for you to be responsible with your posts, because that's already the vein of what you do.
Thank you.
When you do stuff, people are like, either they're there for that or they're there for your art. And if you're leaning political, they're probably on the same page. And if they're not, if they go to your DMs and they can't say it publicly, they're a fucking dirtbag.
Yeah, so I've gotten a lot of that. Let me tell you, a lot of that.
Then why are they following you?
That's why I don't respond or engage, because all they need to do is unfollow, and, like, that's fine. But what upsets me more is that, like, I don't need to sit in my echo chamber. Like, it's great that I have a lot of like-minded people in my following, but I'd rather the people that disagree with me listen to what I'm saying, because maybe we can have an actual discussion, you know?
That's why you're one of the good ones.
We're in such a polarized time these days. It's tough. It's tough. It's very sad.
Weird, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, it's weird. Let's talk about not sad stuff.
Okay. Sorry.
It's a good set.
Fucking good.
Let's bring it back up.
Bring it back. Reel it in.
Bring it back to Mini Mike. All right. Can you give us an insight to the types of animation styles you loved growing up, whether they inspired the artist in you or just made for a totally awesome Saturday morning? What kind of cartoons were you just building the blocks of Mike with?
Oh, my God. Okay. So this is so nice to reminisce about. So I was like I'm a purist. So I grew up on like Bugs Bunny, like straight up like Popeye, the OG, you know, Looney Tunes kind of stuff. So that's what I was watching. And then as I got older, I became really, really into comic books. I think a lot of guys my age were like reading them and stuff, but I really, really indulged in like the line work and the cross hatching and the colors.
Yes.
Like, I loved all of that. And I think that was kind of my first real like obsession of form and art and like creation. I think that really sparked a lot for me.
Oh, I could go back further in my brain. Man. I helped my mom grocery shop as like my family chore, and I loved it. She taught me how to read unit price on things. Game changer. Cool. But at the end, I would get to pick an Archie comic book from the actual stand.
This is the best.
Where, you know, it was like gum and comics. That was like the only thing.
The treats.
And that halftone printing pattern.
Yes.
I still wish I could master that in my digital art, because I'm scared to use it. I love it.
Oh, you should do it. You should do it. Dude. Like that newsprint kind of like Roy Lichtenstein type thing.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And I have 1 million brushes that are all kinds of halftones, And I play with them, and then I like take the filter rocks. I'm like, no, I can't.
You can. No,
I'm so clean lines and deep shadows
Bonnie
and highlights.
Has
and
so
stuff,
much detail to her shit.
I wish I could just do like one slop color fills with mm-hmm the halftones. But you know what's so funny is your artwork kind of reminds me. Shannon and I got way obsessed with Garfield.
Yes.
You have those brown edges like Garfield.
Dude, yes. Like, I was obsessed.
The
I
way you draw yourself reminds me of John.
God.
Yeah,
yes, you have it does.
Yeah, you have a Garfield vibe to you, and I think that's why when I found your art, I was like, "Oh, this feels like home."
You're right.
Yeah,
I am a big, fat, lazy cat. I just want to sleep and eat. It's kind of true, though. That is, and you're right. There is a kind of a round. You're absolutely right. There's like a simple roundness to that. Yeah.
When you have the smack the head gesture and you look exhausted,
that's John Arbuckle. He comes home from work. So you're part John, part Garfield. You love carbs.
Do you like lasagna?
You love coffee.
I love lasagna. I love coffee.
Garfield loved coffee and Garfield hated Mondays.
So here's the best thing. Bonnie, what's the number one comic you remember from our childhood?
What's that?
Zat's coffee.
That's Garfield.
It's the dumbest. Like, I remember it to this day because it was, I cut it out and taped it on the side of something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I also took it with me to Japan. Then I took it with me to college. He woke up from a dead sleep. Okay, so mm-hmm I'll tell you. You'll appreciate this comic.
Frame by frame.
Okay, ready? Picture this in your mind's eye. Fat cat, face down flat on what looks like the top of a surface. Probably like a table. There's Z's coming from his face. His arms are down. His face is down. You see like three whiskers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's nothing. Then the next frame, his ears perk up and there's a waft of like fragrance. And he peeks his head up and he says, what's that? All Z's all drawn out. And then John peeks around the corner with a carafe of coffee and he says, Zat's coffee. That's the
but it's like we like peed ourselves.
It was the best.
Laughing. When we were in high school, we both developed the taste for coffee.
Yeah,
our dad made very strong coffee, so we would come in, and I'd be like, "Oh, Zat." She'd be like, "Zat's coffee." And it was our those classic round lines.
Yeah.
You're and right. You draw very clean. I have a weird thing in my brain that's like the one OCD thing in my life. And it's when I babysat and all the kids watched like Nickelodeon and Disney Channel and stuff, I was really offended when they would watch dirty cartoons.
Oh, God.
What are dirty cartoons?
Like Ren and Stimpy's
this is so
dirty.
Oh, yes, yes.
Had dirty lines.
When the fill doesn't match the lines or when there's no shadow.
Is pretty dirty.
Yeah.
Like the animation isn't clean. It's everything feels a little grimy. And that's like the, you know, the point of
the style. Yeah.
But like
it grates on our nerves so bad.
Things behind them are always moving.
Yes.
Or there's no outline. That actually used to drive me crazy.
Outline is crazy.
Where the foreground and the background had zero outline, but just the main characters. And you're like, that's fucking
but
lazy.
Give me like a Daria. Give me a thick outline.
Yes. Very graphic, very clean.
There's like two-tone difference in the shadow on her shirt, but that's it. Like that's it. And it was
simple.
And it's a sharp line.
Yes, there's like it's like a 90s style. And I think for some reason I want to do comic-y stuff where I do really bold cross-hatching and make it look like rough and grimy. But if I don't do it clean and perfect, this is Rugrats all over again. I can't.
This is the brainwash from having an extremely fine-tuned artistic dad. Even his sloppy shit looked fucking
clean. It's perfect, yeah.
I do Bob Ross landscapes at best.
Oh.
And that's it.
I mean, that's pretty damn good.
I'll paint you a sunscape. Maybe you think about a happy little fish.
I would like a happy little tree. Yeah. You got a happy little bush. Yep.
A mean happy little tree. A happy little tree, actually. Not mean. But I can't do a portrait or any of that kind of shit to save my life because my dad's fine-tuned details ring in
my ears.
Were
your parents artists, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Good question. Yeah.
My parents...
No, your voice went very high.
It's funny. Like, they're creative in many ways, but they wouldn't call themselves artists. Like, my mom was a school teacher, so she was very creative, and she would always be, like, kind of crafty, but she can't really draw. And my dad is actually a lawyer, but before he went to law school, he went to engineering school.
Oh, he's good at drafting. Like,
yes, he has. Okay. He's a draftsman, and he's actually really good, but he sees it as more of like math than art, you know.
Yeah, man, I'm so everywhere.
I love math because it's organized and
One right answer.
It's not arguable.
Yeah.
Unless you go into like styles of math debate. Mm. Like, I don't care about that. You can go to any country and yeah. math is math.
Ooh, that's a you good know? Point.
Yeah. Measurements, I don't, we just call them something different, but the measurements are always the same. Things are always the same. Lines are always the same. Angles are always the same. And I think that's cool. However, if I sat down to draft something, I get real stoked on seeing like blueprint style artwork almost.
Yes, yes.
It's that line work and then they start to shade it and you're like, this is hyper realistic, but I can see your line work. So I can see these like Roman streets
oh, that's
being
so crazy.
Drafted into pencil on the sides. And it blows my mind because I could just sit and maybe paint part of one building mm-hmm. and it would be like, okay, but I can't do that clean line work like compasses. And dude, protractors so and rulers, I can't find them when I need them because I just I can't do straight lines.
Okay, so that just reminded me, my husband and I were trying to build a fire pit in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, draw your concept and then we'll like figure it you out. Made and we'll him draw. Bend. Yeah, well, and then that I realized he's a machinist drawer.
Oh, okay.
Everything is a sharp line edge. Everything's measured. Mm-hmm. And then my paintings and stuff, he's always been like, oh, these are so cool. Like it blows his mind because that's not how his mind works.
Yeah.
But he's architecturally and machinist with the way he draws. Everything is precise.
Hmm.
Like I found journals and shit and I'm like, bro, you can draw. This is fucking weird. I didn't know this about you. And he's like, no. These are sketches.
It's
and I'm like,
technical drafting.
It's like technical drafting. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So he wouldn't consider it his art no, as art. God,
no. No, it's all just like mechanical. Like if he could use graph paper, I think he would. Like, it's funny,
but I have stacks art's of it, and crazy. I just smell it, and I'm like,
I just look at it, and I'm like, you're pretty.
I can't destroy you.
That's why we're weird impressionists, and we're like, graph paper my is wiggles. So structured.
You're gonna ruin your paper.
That's so fucking weird.
Oh, side so question: weird. This isn't even important, but do you love the smell of paper?
What's oh your my god, I love it
in art.
Oh my god, I like the smell of oil paints, but I don't even paint.
Same.
Oh, you just open them up, smell them, and put them away?
I mean, yeah, just walking into an art supply store is like the greatest thing ever.
Okay, you want the best smell ever and you can like hoard it without having that weirdness of oil paint. Okay, go into an art store, mm-hmm. buy a tube of impasto.
What's that?
So I oil paint. That's my jam. Bonnie loves acrylics. I can't oil paint. I love oils. Impasto makes oil paint seize up at a higher rate.
Oh.
But it makes the texture a little more opaque. It makes it so you can make a thicker texture on an oil painting, but it doesn't take longer to dry.
Interesting.
It's okay. Rad. I fucking love it for trees.
So it's got the
that
smell?
Shit smells so good that I used to keep a tube in a drawer in my art room so I could just go smell it like a fucking weirdo because I love the smell of oil paint. It's so cool.
It's so good.
Impasto is the coolest shit ever, though. It feels like a secret tool.
I like
it.
All the smells.
I know. I love an art store. It's I like to just walk to... through it.
It's the best.
I love the smell of wood burning. I love, love the smell of varnishes and finishes.
I know. We have weird crap.
So good. So good.
The three of us, top secret, should just go into a line of candles that just smells like art supplies.
Oh, I like that. That's a brilliant idea.
$1 million
we
business.
We do this
time.
Every podcast. We're like, all right. You know what here's what we're going to do.
Oh my God. We're out of
what's your next okay. childhood question?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Super simple. What was your favorite after school snack?
Ooh.
Oh, you think that's simple? That's actually probably yeah. the hardest thing ever.
It's like, wait, how many carbs do I get?
I know. Yeah. So like pre-diabetes both. Or post-diabetes?
Give me a good crust.
A crust? So I think pre-diabetes, they had, I don't know if you guys, are you guys familiar with Gushers?
Oh shut yeah. your mouth. Of course we're familiar
I overshoot
with Gushers.
For Gushers.
Oh.
Dude, she to this day.
Love me some Gushers. That was
I
back in the 40. Day.
So any snack you ate, I ate before you.
Oh, fair. those are probably my go-to before I had the BDs. After the BDs, ugh. I mean, I was pretty boring.
Boring's good.
You know, my dad was big on these. He liked to get these chocolate graham crackers that were pretty good. The carbs were decent and the sugars weren't too bad. Very delicious. I think that would be it.
Chocolate graham crackers.
Yeah.
Do you know they make chocolate Ritz crackers?
No, they don't.
They fucking do.
Oh, yes. I need to get some of those.
He just mentally went down the grocery no. aisle and
yeah. into a coma. Do you know how many boxes I buy of those when I see them on the shelf? I'm a psycho. And then I hoard them.
Are they salty?
They're salty, sweet perfection.
Oh, they have everything.
Interesting. If you put peanut butter between them, it's a goddamn cookie.
Oh, my God. Some,
right I now. Don't because they're seasonal. It's Christmas time. Listen, Beaties, I'll get you some for Christmas.
Give me them.
Wrap them as a present. I will. Oh, I went devil on this.
I like it.
We get a little satiny when we talk about food.
I hear.
Do we eat cereal still?
Oh,
can you tell me about your cereal? To not miss cereal?
I was going to say, I love cereal growing up, but it just crushes my blood sugar. So
I can't eat it at all.
I don't eat it at all either.
I miss it. I'm a bad person, so I smoke cigarettes on occasion. Every day, but
it's better than meth.
I started vaping instead of because I quit smoking, so I started vaping so I could quit. And then I started hearing about popcorn lungs, so I was like, back to cigarettes. But what I did, here's my trick, is all the vape juices I got tasted like cereals I ate as a child because I was like, gosh, I miss this flavor, like Smacks, Golden Grahams.
Oh my God. Lucky Charms, Fruity Pebbles. Oh,
Fruity Pebbles was the jam.
Oh, God.
And then what made me think of this was as poor kids, when we ran out of cereal, there was four of us, we would crush up graham crackers and pour milk over it and call it graham cracker cereal.
Oh, yes.
Right.
That sounds delicious. Yeah.
So I didn't even really like cereal very often. So I don't even like breakfast very much. I'm a really garbage human when it comes to breakfast.
Oh, but breakfast is the best.
What else? We go hard on brunch. Listen, now because we're
I like
adults.
Brunch. I'm just kidding. So I poach an egg like nobody's business. I'm a grown-up now. Cereal, I loved Golden Grahams.
Yes.
So most of my friends smoke a lot of weed, so I learned how to make like Rice Krispie treats with the cereals they liked. I am a wuss. I don't partake because it just puts me to sleep and then I'm useless for everyone.
She makes some
But I make Krispy it treats. For everybody else.
We're in Oregon. So
P.S. Sorry, rest of the country. And that's another thing. I'll make a popcorn ball, but I'll do it with cereal instead. Oh. So I'll make like cereal balls of
Maybe
weird
that's
shit.
That's how I can get like a sprinkle of flavor in
I'll
my
put
life.
It in a popcorn.
Oh my God, that sounds good.
Golden Grahams and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Those two make the best
popcorn additives. Crunch is so good.
Right? My mouth is watering right now. It's God, not
a I would do a like bit. A sprinkle on top of non-fat Greek yogurt.
Well, that's not terrible.
And then picture I was eating cereal. I just had to hear it from another Beaties buddy.
Okay, so I have a Beaties question because I'm not and I'm curious.
Sure.
Okay, what's the worst fruit for diabetics?
Well, so everyone's a little bit different, but I found that bananas.
Bananas?
Really?
Banana, I'll eat them if I'm low, and I'll eat them in like moderation if I'm not low. Like I'll have like a quarter of a banana. But I find that bananas and like mangoes, which are delicious, the ones that are really delicious, just
watermelon.
Yeah,
watermelon and apples are like the two that I feel like I would
apples are your best ones because they have fiber. So you slowly digest the
sugar. Oh, look at you. Yes.
The sugar, and then you get a slow digestion.
See, this is why I would be a bad diabetic. Do you know what I had for lunch yesterday?
What do we have?
3/4 of a watermelon with honey on it.
Oh, that's a lot of sugar.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But listen.
And then I cleaned the house like I was on meth. And then I had a yerba mate. So, I mean.
Oh, you're really amped up.
I'm a garbage human.
No, you are not. And like, here's the thing. I think being diabetic is really, really hard. And I think there's a lot of like food shaming and all that stuff. And like, listen, we can all have bad days. We can all try and eat a little something in moderation. And if we go overboard, we go overboard. But as long as we kind of come back, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
But I do have to put my doctor hat on for a moment and say, I hope that you're reconsidering trying to quit smoking.
I am.
Okay, good.
I am. But we just had Oregon fires here real bad.
Oh, that's right.
The West Coast was a flame and we couldn't even leave our house. So the stupidest feeling as a grown adult with mental capabilities to understand the environment, the stupidest feeling is going outside when the air quality is 320. Hazardous.
It's so bad.
Oh my God.
It's off the radar hazardous and smoking a cigarette and looking around in what looks like fog and being like, why am I doing this? It's a real eye opener. So yes, and smoking in general is bad. but smoking with diabetes is your body is already a freaking storm.
Yeah, it's true.
And
it's true.
I'm just adding more things to my heart and my blood vessels and
I
my
will
brain.
Say, in her defense,
I quit for four years.
She quit for a really long time in Nashville and was doing really great. Good. Just she beats on herself about smoking all the time anyway. But I will say, after our dad passed, everything went down the toilet.
I'm sorry.
This is bad news. The game changer for me when I originally quit, pre-diabetes, pre-everything, but the game changer for me was the realization that in the job I was currently in, I could not afford medical bills for what would happen to me. And I'm paying for something that I can't pay for later. And I'm really literally throwing lesson, my money away. And then later I'm going to have a really big bill for something that might not be 100% fixable.
That's a lot of foresight. That's impressive.
That's what got me to quit. Yeah. It was just that moment of I'm literally spending money on something I can't afford to treat. And people tend to think of doctors as I'll do whatever I want and they'll just fix it for me later.
Right.
And
doesn't work like that.
No, yeah. Not everything is fixable.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm lucky I get to be on medication that will keep me alive for the remainder of my life. That's a best case scenario for me. Not everyone has access to a pill they can take every morning and something they can put in their body that their body doesn't make anymore. You gotta just weigh your own options here. I'm not a millionaire. I can't afford a bio body and science hasn't got me there yet. Doctors can't fix everything. I need to just quit on
my own. That's a good point of view. I give you massive credit for that. You can't.
Me too, yeah.
Cigarettes are so fucking expensive.
And it's not cool anymore.
No.
Listen, I got addicted. I got addicted when it was cool.
Yes.
And then everyone else stopped smoking and I'm the asshole. Everywhere we go.
I blame the music industry for Bonnie's smoking habit.
Right? I'm shamed in the shadows. All these women that got it together were going to these events and I'm
she's the odd man
the
out.
The leather jacket look at me like I'm shit on their heels and I'm like, I'm doing it so I don't murder you.
Listen,
people. Now
influencers
I'm
don't smoke. That's the weirdest part of it.
It's great. Yeah. No, smoking is going out and I fucking love it. Me too. New York isn't very smoky anymore, is it?
No. It's like when I was growing up, it was you walked into a bar, it's like you couldn't breathe, and now people can't even smoke anywhere.
When I went to Jersey, no one smoked, and that was like 3 years ago. Yeah, that was great. I know. That was Jersey, and no one was smoking. It was crazy.
It's not cool anymore. Oh, I just need to get over myself.
It's a really good point.
No, listen, it's a very, very, very difficult thing to kick, but I just was curious. I wanted to at least throw my support behind
it. I appreciate your support and your insight on
that. It is an addiction, and I think to myself, the way I placate the situation is I say well, it could be better, I'm not on meth.
I did say that. I don't drink. I will say, I said, at least you're not smoking meth, and then I joked, and I was like, no, that's actually it.
They're all bad. Everything's all bad for your bod. This is my all-time favorite question.
Okay.
I'm so excited, Mike.
I'm getting there. Hit me with it.
All right. You ready? Romance.
Oh, shit.
Intrigue. You're obviously charming, and you're very handsome.
This is an
audio thing. So you guys, check him out, even in his drawings. He is adorbs.
Seriously.
He puts that 5 o'clock shadow on, and we're like, what? But there has been much debate about you in the ologies group.
Oh, yeah.
Some saying that people commenting on how alluring you are is sexist. And if you were a woman, we wouldn't condone such behavior. Others argue that in a world full of crazy, having a sweet doctor to daydream about is totally okay. I like to screenshot the latter matter and send them to you.
Oh, do you really?
I do.
That's so funny.
I send them compliments.
Oh, my God.
It makes my day.
From the group. I just try to get him to maybe blush a little and be like, "Aw, people are out there talking about me." And it's all sweet stuff.
It's all very cute. Yeah.
But I think it's because you were on ologies. So you're already put up on this pedestal for them where they're like, "Oh, science brain. He's amazing." And then also you are a handsome man.
Oh my,
you got good genes. Thank your parents.
Well, you guys are just, I need to talk to you guys every day. Just make me feel better.
Where you're near.
You are an attainable dreamboat.
Oh, boy.
When you wake up in the morning and be like, those bitches said, I am an attainable dreamboat.
When you think you have to shave, just be like, nah
bitches love
that. Yeah. Bitches love it. We're bitches.
Yes, we are.
But I'd like to go back further.
Sure.
And let's humanize you for all the people daydreaming about Dr. Natter. I would love to know if you have any embarrassing or not so romantic run-ins with love, any Ooh. Awkward kisses, total turndowns, disses. We want the scoop.
Weird crushes
on, Ooh, on yeah. young Mike and his love life.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I struggled for years. So I had like a backwards adolescence because I feel like I was very fortunate in that I think I blossomed very early and I had a lot of good friends and I had a wonderful girlfriend when I was in like young, when I was in like high school and like middle school and all that stuff. Everything was fine. Everything went well. And then I went to college and everything just fell apart for me. And it was, yeah, it was like darkly depressed. Like, so I was dating a girl from basically most of high school.
You had a high school sweetheart.
I did. I was madly in love with her. Aww. And tried to do the long distance thing when she went to college. She went to college down in St. Louis and I was in upstate New York. And it just kind of fell apart. I was still very much in love with her, but she kind of just called it. And I was Aww. A mess, an absolute mess. Aww. And I would be such a wreck that it kind of like messed up the remainder of my college years, because then when I tried to like date other women, I just ended up like talking about my ex-girlfriend. And I'm like,
no. That's pretty standard. I did that
too. Oh, it was terrible. I was such a wreck and I would cry. I had a horrible roommate as a freshman. And so I needed to find I had a crying bench that was off in the gazebo because I needed to find a way to cry in peace. So that was
gazebo. Can you picture it in your mind? Like if you were to write a diary entry from a memory, could you draw that gazebo?
Oh my God. Well, what it was, there was a bench and then there was a gazebo. And so I thought it was pitch black. I was like, I'm all alone. So I could do like my ugly loud cry. And then one night I heard a bunch of these stoners, you know, doing their thing in the gazebo. And I realized I was not alone and they could very much hear me. And to run away.
So as a weed smoker in my past and sometimes present, if I were in the gazebo, I would be that paranoid one that was like, you guys, do you hear
that was me.
In the best way possible. And, you know, they're not like, oh, who's crying out there? They're stoners. They're not judging.
That's true.
They're just in their mind that yeah, they that are point. They crying right now? Are you crying, man? Am I?
It's
crying?
In my head. Like, it's all in my head.
This joint is crying, you guys.
This is sad weed, y'all.
This joint's on fire. And it's crying.
Somewhere out there, somebody has a stoned memory from college of something crying.
Oh my right God, it was me. That's so maybe cool. They're listening yeah. to your pod. It was me.
Listen, Stoner, we get you, man.
It's fine. It was just Mike. Yeah. He was having a hard time, you guys.
It was a rough 4 years.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I had the high school sweetheart, and then I moved away to college, and then I mm-hmm. cried a bunch. And then every guy I dated, I told him about my ex-boyfriend, which really panned out fantastic.
Yeah, it doesn't go over well. Let me tell you.
I can't tell you how many I cycled through, and they're like, God, she has a great ass, but she won't stop talking about that fucking weird guy. And it never panned out great. I never ended up with any of them. And then I met my husband like literally 15 years later, I feel like.
Oh, heartbreak club. I feel like that's hard for people that establish that sort of relationship in high school.
It's
weird. When you pair up and you're partnered up and you think back to that now and like how young
oh God, I can't were we? Imagine. Can you even imagine how that would have played out with your life with like how you've grown and learned and become a different person? Like I can't look back on that and be like, oh, that would have gone well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there's always like the handful of people that you know who like high school sweethearts got married, like never slept with anyone else and stuff. And I feel like some of them are happier.
And then I wonder what fucking planet they came from and what kind of real life they live in, because that's a fraction of magic no one else ever gets to receive.
It's like a Disney romance, you know?
It's not normal.
Yes.
And it only happens in Disney because the parents die. My brother does have the best love story, so it's fine. Only one person in a family gets it. That's what I've decided. Everybody else has to like find scraps and then figure out their lives.
God, I love the love so stories, like the old horror stories. And yours,
I love love,
was unexpected in a way that made me sad and proud of you.
Oh, me?
No.
Oh, wait.
No. It's made true. Me sad, but oh. also
well,
proud.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, if she hits you up on Facebook, you get to
be. Oh, no, I'm pretty sure she's married with child. But I will say this. Do you guys want to hear a really horrible follow-up story to this? I was very, very torn up over her, obviously. But, like, you know, it's been, I don't know, a decade. And so I was doing okay. You know, I forgot about it a little bit. But it's something you never really get over. And so I started my internship this was in 2017. I matched into residency at a hospital in New York City. And I went to start. And my very, very first shift was in the ICU, which was petrifying. And I knew nothing. Ooh. And I had a patient that had a heart problem. And the attending asked me to contact the patient's cardiologist. And when I looked up who the cardiologist was, I realized it was the father of that girl. And I went to the attending and I said, I can't do that. And the attending was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I guess I have to tell you why. So it was a very interesting interaction in my first week of internship.
That's so strange how it comes back around. So her dad is a doctor?
Yes, yeah, he's a pretty prominent cardiologist. Yeah, and I was like, I don't want to talk to him.
But she dated you in high school where you didn't know you were going to be a doctor.
Correct.
You wanted to be an artist. Correct. And now you're a doctor.
Correct, correct. Oh, but gosh. I was a just budding, starting out doctor that was, because yeah. to call another doctor an attending, like one of the boss guys or, yeah. or women, or they, you have to like present the patient, which is a very like difficult, you have to be very careful how you phrase professional. And it's very difficult to do, especially if you're doing it over the phone. And here I am, like, just starting out with this guy who basically, I don't think he disliked me, but he was like, you're dating my daughter kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So now here I am, and I'm like, oh, God, I have to present to him. Maybe he'll recognize my name. Like, I don't want to do this.
You know what? I give you actual credit for having the foresight to bow out of that early, because you could have postured and gone weird with it and then had a really much more embarrassing moment.
I really appreciate you saying that, because what it really was pure cowardice. I was just petrified.
I honor your cowardice, and I think that it was more brave to step back in the beginning.
Foresight.
Because how many other people would have been like, fuck that. I'm going to show this guy I'm a doctor now. Fuck that shit. No way, man. Like, you were like, you know what? I'm going to take myself out of the equation. This feels irresponsible.
Oh, we're not irresponsible. The funny part of it is, I guess it's like to tell another intern, like, you don't say no to an attending. So the attending tells you to do something. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. It's a very weird kind of hierarchical system. So it was interesting.
Dude, that's fucking awesome, though. I give
you
more credit.
Thank you.
You're more humble than you realize.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, so full transparency, Bonnie had to pee, so she tagged out with me, which is super funny.
I mean, listen, when you have to go, you have to go.
Well, and she has to go more than most because the babies.
The shugs.
Yeah. Hi, Bon. I told him you were peeing because I didn't have another question, because I'm a real piece of shit. So,
hurt.
Yeah. Her bladder was bursting. So this or that. It's very important. This is the round where you choose your choice.
Rapid.
Well, I'm excited.
Rapid fire. You have to pick this or that. Mm-hmm. It's literally called this or that. So.
All right, Mike.
Hit me.
Halloween or Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, excellent. Bread or pasta?
Pasta.
Yeah.
Ooh, I put cookies or candy.
We're the worst. We're devils.
Oh, man. Ugh. You know what the terrible thing is? I'm a diabetic with a sweet tooth. I want to say bowl.
I know it. That's why.
All right, fine. We'll do cookies. I'm going to go cookies.
All right. Okay. You're a diabetic. You should know that they put candy and cookies now.
Fucking do trick question.
Give me both.
TV series binge or movie binge?
TV series binge.
Dressing up or dressing down?
Dressing up.
Dressing up.
Cooking at home or takeout delivery?
Oh, takeout delivery. You do not want to eat my shitty food.
You can't cook?
I mean, I can make a mean breakfast meal, but that's about it.
A breakfast meal. That's what I'm going to call it from now on.
Real talk, the next time I cook in New York, I'm inviting you to a thing.
Oh, I will eat whatever thing that said thing
fabulous.
Is.
Fabulous. Yeah. I love it. Be careful what you wish for. She uses interesting ingredients. Listen. Sometimes.
I like to eat.
I would hope so. Food is our world.
True that.
And it's our love language. We both show love via food.
Let me tell you, I will eat all of the love language you are willing to dish out.
We would love for you to tell all the listeners of the pod where they can find you online and where they can see your art.
Yes, please.
First of all, I just want to say what an absolute honor it is to be on your show. You guys are fantastic. You could find all of my stuff on Instagram. That's probably like the bulk of my stuff. Mike.natter. So it's N like Nancy, A-T-T-E-R. And then I'm also on Twitter. Less active, but still some stuff going on over there. So that's Mike_natter, N-A-T-T-E-R.
Perfect.
And then you can buy some of my prints if you're interested.
Yay.
They're very affordable. It's artsugar.com. And then you just search for my name on there. And there's also a link in my bio on Instagram.
Wow. What we have going on now.
Oh, the best part.
You get to just sit back and take it.
Oh.
You are witty and charming and extremely handsome.
Oh my.
But also really approachable to the point where you're the kind of handsome where I feel like people are like, oh, I don't know if I could talk to him. And you're like, fuck that. I'm like super approachable. I could talk to you about everything. My art tells you everything you need to know about what's going on in my head. Talk to me about anything.
Open book.
Yeah. And if anybody listened to you on Ologies, they're like, God, I feel like he's the friend of a friend or the guy next door or like somebody you could relate to. Like you get it. Even if you're not in the same boat with diabetes or with being in the medical field or being on the front lines, I feel like you're so relatable. But I feel like I get you. I see you. I hear you in a very approachable way.
Ugh.
You have a very palatable way of delivering some real crazy shit that's going on in the world too. And I really respect that. And I love how you do everything you do on the internets and whatnot. And I wish we lived closer so that we could literally just like socialize and have pizza and talk about
pizza with you.
I know. I feel like you would just be one of the family and we could just have you over and you could like play freaking Wii with us and like just be chill as hell. I feel like you're just,
love that.
You're just
you're
the
our
best.
People.
Yeah. And we just love you so much.
Thank you, Shannon. Thank you. you're making my night. Thank you so much.
So Shannon texted me, you know, a couple weeks ago.
It's the best.
And we were texting back and forth, like rapid fire.
Just about
and
weird then, sister shit.
Yeah. We're just, you know, shooting
as
shit.
As sisters do.
As we do. And she said, Mike Natter is going to be on the podcast. He's very excited. And what did I do instead of texting you back, Shannon?
She called me immediately.
Called her immediately.
I'll preface this with Bonnie's a texter. If she calls you, you better fucking answer because either something's
on
fire.
It's too much to type.
Or there's so many thoughts in her brain, it's not going to work out via text.
Yeah, I hate calling.
She's not a phone call gal.
So I called her and I was just like, wait, for real? I'm so excited. And then I freaked out and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm like such a fan. And she was like, he says he's such a fan of you. And I was like, this all doesn't make sense.
I was so excited to tell you that. It brought me so much joy to be like, I want to read you that he said he's a fan of you and he thinks you're wonderful.
She is wonderful.
And she was like, she goes, shut the fuck up. Like, it was the softest, cutest thing I've ever heard out of her face.
You make my face hurt because I'm honestly, I'm such a fan of you. You know, I was a fan of you before and I didn't even make the connection.
She's a double fan.
I'm a double fan. I'm a fan of your art and then I'm a fan of your wisdom. And you are definitely wise and you have your head on straight in a way that is super approachable. And I feel like for the masses, for the people that, you know, get to follow you on Instagram and see day in the life stuff, it's so cool to have someone there that is so relatable in something that feels like, you know, an outlandish situation. COVID hitting and getting to see all of your firsthand accounts of what was going on in your stories, it made me feel more informed in real life. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, there's people being like, this isn't real. And I'm like, I'm literally watching it because like, someone is sharing
it. My friend is very fucking affected right now. That's how I feel.
The whole world is crazy. But you are a beacon of light in this weird stew of generations and information and convoluted facts. And you are just clear with your point of view. in a way that is arms open, cartoon hug. It's mm-hmm. a feel good situation. And you know, and it's just, I'm so honored that you're even taking time out to like hang out with us.
Yeah.
And to talk like about your childhood and be in our orbit. I'm in awe of you.
Oh.
Yes. You're a beautiful specimen of a human. We'll say it again.
Yep.
You are handsome. You just laughed and I pictured what your smile looked like and it made me blush. Like, it's a situation.
I'm very red right now and my head is getting very large.
Yes, you are very attractive, but your insides are
also very
fascinating
attractive.
And beautiful. And you are just, you're a good human. Like, yeah. I feel like you were raised right. Thank your parents for us. Your sister didn't give you any like really hardcore damage.
Not a lot of trauma.
There's not tons of trauma there that affected you to how you see the world. You guys, you did it right.
Oh.
And you're blessing the people with you. And when you get out of your fellowship and you get to put on your final cape, mm-hmm. as Shannon said, I'm jealous of all of your future patients. Oh, I wish I could be your patient.
Long distance wise, I think you just gained an organ patient. Because
we can Zoom. We can be patients on Zoom.
Oh, be careful what you wish for. Remember, we're garbage patients.
I need to thank you guys. First of all, this was such an honor and a privilege. You guys are amazing. I'm so happy to be with you guys. I am a true fan of Bonnie's. I will be a fan of Shannon's when I eat her food, I'm sure.
Just look at her food feed and you'll get...
If you ever want to get hungry.
Yeah, she also writes recipes and stuff, so you can DIY it. Level up your cooking skills.
I'll Zoom a recipe with you.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
You don't have a lot of time.
This is true.
You know?
Yeah, this is true.
You're a busy man. You're doing all the things.
I got you. Get an Instant Pot and give me a call and we got you covered.
And I live in New York City in a tiny, tiny place, so my kitchen's teeny, tiny, tiny. You guys are just so wonderful and you make me feel very good and I really appreciate you both, so thank you so much.
You are that.
You are and all the
you are that.
We are super fucking excited to have you on here. Sometimes my diabetic friends feel like an island because not everybody around them is.
No one talks about it.
Yeah.
Normalizing it, you're doing a fucking great job of just making it like the daily thing. And I just appreciate that as a non-diabetic.
You are reflecting back to me what my greatest hopes are when I put myself out there, and I really appreciate it.
Well, is there anything that you're hoping and dreaming about or loving or liking that you want to share with the folks that you feel like they should be following? Like anything you want to tell folks about that you're passionate about?
I think if you have means, I think it's important now to recognize a lot of people are hurting. So if there is a couple extra bucks you can throw to some philanthropic cause or a donation of some sort, I think that's important. One of my pieces was just bought and I donated a bunch to a COVID, a New York City COVID like fund. But I think like food banks need help. I think, you know, obviously the terrible wildfires are going on out west by you guys and stuff. So I don't know where that money would be best put to use, but you know, if you could help.
Honestly, I think food banks, I think you're right. I think across the board, food banks, everybody's suffering. There's a lot of chefs and a lot of farms and stuff and a lot of people boots on the ground trying to feed all the displaced people. Yeah. I think that's probably a good focus.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
It feels like. Let's feed all the people.
Let's feed people.
Yes. I'm down for that. And then your piece, it's the PPE COVID responder, like, tying up the scrubs. Did you do charcoal?
That is, So when I was in art school, I would do these large charcoal pieces, and I love charcoal. It's so messy. And not only is it messy, but like living in a tiny studio, it's also tough. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really been able to do much, but I was really inspired seeing a lot of the images that were coming out of that time, and then also just like trying to like be cathartic and like put some of that energy to use. And so it came out. That's what came out of it. And then I realized I couldn't, there was no place to keep it in my place. I thought, well, maybe
it's
I could
large.
Auction it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a big guy. It was a big guy.
And it's living in another hospital now.
So the beauty of it is one of the program directors who was he left, but he was a program director when I was there at the institution. He bought it with the intention of having it hung in the hospital I work at, which is really just like a blessing. So, and this is a hospital. I work at three different hospitals. This one's called Bellevue, and it's a city hospital of New York City. And it's a very special place, and I feel very honored that my piece will hang there. So it's been great.
You are a unique breed because where are you going to find art doctors, right?
You know, I was just thinking that same thing.
Like, to have someone that works in the medical field And again, that environment can be so sterile or so
catalog?
Recycled hotel.
Yes. Yeah, you know, yes. The catalog, like, you know, shit. Yeah.
You go in and you're like, I've seen this floral somewhere. Like, I've seen the same stuff everywhere. To have something that's bold and meaningful and powerful and striking, to be in a medical building that was made by a doctor, it's like full circle.
That's,
you know,
rad.
That's,
yeah,
so cool. What an honor. They're honored to have your artwork.
Yeah, it was really, the whole thing is really great. I'm really excited about it.
You're so cool.
You know,
you're
what? Cool. The next art move. You guys are both cool.
So we're all cool.
I think the next move is I want to wear a Mike t-shirt,
mm-hmm,
and I want him to have a You Are That t-shirt. So
can we just do
like t-shirt trades where we're like each other's shirt. Biggest fans?
You know, you guys, you know how they do the shirt within a shirt within a shirt?
Yes.
Like celebrities go back and forth of like so-and-so wearing, yes, the Inception shirt.
I would like to do
Can we just do? Yes,
I feel like there's a Ryan Gosling of that.
Yes, there is. Yes. There's also who was laying on the
bed too. I don't remember.
I just sent it to you. Someone got a pillowcase of them wearing them on a shirt, and then that person got a duvet cover.
Was
them on the pillowcase? It was someone so outlandish. It's a beautiful concept of just showing love.
Okay, can we
let's make Inception shirts and sell them on both.
Oh my god, I'm so down.
I love this.
Cool. We're gonna make it happen, you guys.
Ladies, this was a pleasure.
We love you, Mike. Thank you for being our friend.
Thank you for being mine. This was so fun.
Oh, I appreciate you so much. You have no idea. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. I hope you have just a great, relaxing weekend somehow.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
And we're hashtag blessed.
Oh, Jesus. How dare you? Why don't you live, laugh, love while you're at it?
I often don't.
Thank you so much. Oh, this was a joy.
Holy Moses, what an episode.
Jesus tits. That was fucking great.
My face hurts from all the smiling.
My cheeks. Oh, my cheeks I feel medically educated and comforted.
I feel seen and heard, but also just gratifyingly exhausted.
I'm filled with joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you guys had a great time listening to this episode and you want more, guess what? We have some recorded already.
Yeah, like a bunch. There. This wasn't the first one.
No.
I know.
But we have some back there.
Yeah.
And you should check them out.
Yeah.
If you guys want to see that adorable cuffed picture of little baby Natter, go on our Instagram, which is You Are That. And that is also on
the Twitter.
Also find us on Facebook. We have a group there. Where can they find us on Facebook?
It's Facebook. And then I think there's like a / and then a You Are That. And then if you look at groups, you could literally just search You Are That.
Search.
And then it's like, whoa, there's a group.
Whoa.
And there are like a bunch of people in it.
Whoa.
And, oh my God. There's like quizzes. And it's so fun. You can talk about food and friends and games and all kinds of shit.
You know what I'm really excited about?
Patreon?
Yes.
Okay. You can also find us on Patreon if you wanted to support us with some doll hairs and get some inside scoop as to who's going to be on the podcast. Maybe ask some questions about who's what and who's on first and who's on second. And that is patreon.com/youarethat. But also, I think we have like maybe some things you could like put on your bodies or like maybe something that's autumnal.
Autumnal, you do love that word.
I do love autumnal.
Y'all, we got new fall merch coming out.
Yeah, we do.
It is spooky, but also nostalgic.
So good.
In a way that you could wear it year damn round.
Yep.
They are great for the spooky hearted. You guys can check those out at youarethatmerch.com. You definitely want to see what's happening. We will be posting stories and stuff on Instagram. And we have something that pairs with our merch.
Oh, yes.
Fortune teller, come into Insta stories, get the matching shirt on youarethatmerch.com.
Find out what your destiny is.
Listen, you guys, we just want you to know what your future is.
I mean,
it's looking bright.
Is it?
Or it's not.
I mean, do you know? You're going to have to like You're going to have to follow and find out.
Yes. And if you like our merch, you should put it on your bods, because guess who's going to be wearing it soon?
Me.
And Mike Natter.
Oh my God. That's right.
Yes.
Mike Natter.
He's going to put it on his bod. You should put it on your bod.
Every shirt that we have that's kick ass, every little weird quip from a thing that we're like, oh, we should make that on a shirt. And then she makes a killer shirt. That's all her art.
Oh, I know. I'm well aware. I love Bonnie's art.
That makes me feel so weird inside.
I love it. I love watching her squirm when people tell her she's great. It's so fun.
You guys have such a great relationship. It's really cute.
If you guys want to support us without spending any money, but just taking a moment of your time, we highly recommend rating and reviewing.
Yes, please.
Those are the two things you can definitely do that help people find us.
Yeah.
As well as tell your friend, tell your cousin. Slap your sister and be like, hey, listen to this
fun
podcast.
Thing. Remember that thing we did when we were kids? This sounds a lot like that thing.
Yeah, these girls are dumb like we were when we were young.
But if you give us 5 stars, that would be fucking dynamite.
What? If you guys don't know what to write in your review, you guys get a little, stuck for words.
You tongue-tied?
You get a little block there, a little writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you would put on your personal pizza from Miss Shannon if it was to be delivered to your doorstep.
I like that.
Or if you're a type 1 diabetic or type 2 diabetic, if you are out there and you're limited on your sugars, tell us what cereal you wish you could eat.
Oh.
Come on, hit us with the foods.
Please.
Right in the heart, soul.
Thank you so much.
Super appreciate
for being
you.
Here, for being present. And I fucking loved this one. So
I have feel goods in my heartstrings. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Wait, should we get a warm up? Should we la 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 la?
Ooh, let's harmonize. Match.
Meet me up here. I'm at a G.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.